You're listening to James H. for Life, Episode 15, Disability Insurance, the Basics of Securing Your Income. Thanks for tuning in today. You're listening to James H. for Life, your premier podcast for all things life, disability, and long-term care insurance related. And today I wanted to break open the conversation about disability insurance. So let's get right into it. First and foremost, what in the world is disability insurance? As its name would suggest, disability insurance is a policy that will pay you if you become disabled. Now, we'll get into a little bit more as what can constitute a disability or how the benefits work and so on and so forth. But first, let me get into the concept of why disability insurance is paramount to protecting your family's financial future. See, unlike life insurance will pay out in the event of your death. And statistically speaking, you have a much greater chance of becoming disabled by the definition, according to what these policies will go by most of the time. You have a much greater chance of becoming disabled than you do dying during your working years. Both are possible, of course. However, becoming disabled, an interesting statistic I came across, one in four who are 20 years old. So think about this. You're 20 years old, you're young, you're healthy, you're invincible, you can take on the world, nothing stops you. You get sick, you bounce back real easily. You get injured, you can, again, bounce back pretty quickly. One in four will put in a disability event, at least one, by the time they turn 67. So basically, over the course of your working years, you have a minimum of a 25% chance, or I should say one in four, perhaps that's the odds, one in four will experience a disability claim or disabling event that could warrant a paid out claim by the time they turn 67. These are the young and the healthy. Another statistic is if you are in your 20s, you have about a 58% chance of experiencing a disability event by the time you turn 67. So here's the difference between the two. One in four will actually put in the claim. And then there's a difference between odds and statistics, odds, chances. I don't know. I wasn't a math major. I didn't really study all of that stuff. That's why I'm in insurance. I understand mortality. I understand risk, not necessarily how to calculate that risk. The point is, you can read any statistic you want. You have a significant chance. Let's just say this. You have a significant chance of experiencing a disabling event before you retire. A lot can happen in 1 year. And a disabling event is not what you might initially think. A lot of people, when I have conversations with them about disability insurance, they immediately, by nature, in their mind, go to the worst possible case scenario. For example, you know, you have a spinal cord injury that leaves you either as a paraplegic or a quadriplegic. You can't work for the rest of your life. You're on total disability, completely dependent on other people, you know, or you get one of your limbs ripped off or something like that. Well, disabling events are not necessarily exclusive to those that would leave you incapacitated or, I'll say, changed in a physical capacity for the rest of your life. A disabling event could be something as common as you blow your knee out on the job. Think about it. My father was a union carpenter for over 30 years. And I remember I was about 15, I think, somewhere in that area. My dad came home severely injured. And we're like, what happened? He blew his knee out because what happened was is his foot got stuck under a full mortar pan. He went to go turn. Somebody bumped him, made him spin. His foot was locked. He kept going and boom, there goes his knee. He had to have a total knee replacement because of that injury, and it was months before his knee was back to full force again. Now, consider this. My dad was a carpenter, and here he is with his knee laid up for months because of this injury. I mean, he tore his meniscus tendons and everything. So, I mean, you know, they got the physical therapy going after the surgery and all these things to try and help my dad recuperate. How long do you think it was before my dad was able to go back to work? Now, mind you, he was the primary breadwinner of my family. He was the money man. And his income went down. My family was in trouble there for a while. I mean, yeah, we had state disability and stuff that helped out in workers' comp because it was on the job. But things were tight. My dad wasn't getting his full paycheck. Things were really, really tight in the household. And, you know, fortunately, my dad was able to get us through it because he always kept money aside. So, and it was just enough to get us by. But, you know, my dad went down and out for about 6 months. 6 months of not working. How long, here's what I would ask you to consider. How long would it take your family to experience a financial crisis if you lost your income tomorrow? I mean, think about that. Most families, according to an article I read some time ago in MSNBC, I think it was published in like October of 2017 or so. At the time, they said 78% of American households say they would experience financial duress within 3 months. Within 3 months. All of a sudden, the bills aren't getting paid. Food's harder to come by, putting it on the table. You can't pay to take your kids anywhere or do anything. There's no extra money. In fact, you're running in the red. You're running a deficit. A lot of people that I know personally, they would be there within a couple of weeks. So many families live paycheck to paycheck nowadays. You give them a month without getting paid and they're in dire straits. I wonder if that would be you listening to this podcast. So that's the whole concept of this is, okay, you have an income, you have a family, you have people depending on you for that income. How long, if you lost your income tomorrow, and let's just say you can't replace it, how long until your family is in big trouble? That's the question that you need to answer. And with many instances, disability insurance is a great solution because it by the time your family would experience duress, that's when a disability benefit would kick in. So let's talk a little bit then about disability insurance and how it works, how much you could expect to pay for it, and what does it exactly cover? But we're going to take a quick break. We're going to hear a word, and then we will be right back. We're going to start getting into the nuts and bolts of a disability policy. You're listening to James H. for Life. All right, guys, welcome back. You're listening to James H. for Life, and we're going to get into the nuts and bolts a little bit of a disability insurance policy, give you guys some information on what to expect, how much it will cost, and what all goes into it. So first and foremost, let's break a disability policy apart into a few parts that it's made out of. Number one is going to be your benefit. Your benefit essentially is your income. You know, how much income will you receive from this policy on a monthly basis? Now, it can vary from state to state. So I'm going to be a little vague on this part. More specific if we have to get into it, you know, on a personal level for a quote for yourself or something. However, here's how it works. You are allowed to replace a percentage of your income. Disability policies, whether it be short-term or long-term, usually will cover at least half of your normal 40-hour week salary. Short-term disability policies usually pay you for a couple of months to a year, maybe two. Most will define it as a year or less of payments. And typically with short-term disability, you can get between 60 and 70% of your base salary covered as a benefit. It'll pay you out for a few months to a year. And you can usually have a very short waiting period, typically in the vicinity of about 2 weeks or so will be your what's known as the elimination period, or the amount of time you have to be continuously disabled before the policy will start to pay out for you. As soon as you get past that benefit, the elimination period, then the policy begins to pay. The elimination period is another part of the policy. I just mentioned what that does. The benefit period then, so you have your income or your benefit, then you have the elimination period, and then the last primary component, it's known as the benefit period, and that is the length of time you have elected for the policy to pay out. So depending on the type of policy you're going for, short-term disability policies will typically pay out for a few months. If you go in the vicinity of long-term disability, that can pay out for years on end. The options typically range between 2, 3, 5 years, and then pay to age 65, and then pay to age 67. So essentially, if you were to become disabled permanently, worst case scenario, like what I had mentioned a little bit ago, and one of those incidents does happen, you do become paralyzed or something like that, disability insurance can actually pay you a specified amount for the rest of your working years. So, all right, why is this important? I kind of hit on it before, but I want to drive this home a little bit further because this is really the nuts and bolts here as far as your financial security. So think about this. You have financial goals. You have things that you want to do. What would you say your most valuable asset is? If you were to break apart everything and look at all of your investments, all of your retirement accounts, all of your assets, what would you say would be the most valuable? Well, I'm going to tell you. The most valuable asset you have is your income. Without your income, everything else that you're thinking of right now with regards to your plans, your futures, your this, your that, they're not possible. Your income drives everything. It sends your children to school. It pays the bills. It takes care of the mortgage. It buys clothes. It funds your retirement. It funds your vacation. Your money, your income drives your entire way of life. I mean, proven fact. Look at this. People who make a lot of money a year, couple $100,000 a year, every single year, live a very different lifestyle than those who are making $50,000 a year or less. Point in case, your money drives your lifestyle. So if you were to lose the source of that money, which for just about every single person out there is your income, every single plan that you have is gone. It's out the window. You do not have an option on how you're going to fund it. Now, if you lose your income and you don't have any kind of disability insurance, then where's your money coming from? Friends, family, depending on the state, maybe a state disability if you're in, you know, New Jersey like I am, or New York or California. I mean, there's only 5 states that I know of that have some form of a disability program through the state government. I mean, where's the money going to come from? It's too important to leave to chance. Your income drives everything. So when you go to insure it, you can choose your short or your long-term disability, get paid for a couple of months, or get paid for, you know, years on end, you know, for your, you know, you want to get covered. That's fine. How much is it going to cost you? All right. Typically, disability insurance will range anywhere from 1% to 3% of your annual income. Depends on how much coverage you want, depends on how healthy you are, depends on a lot of different things. It depends on all the little ins and outs. What kind of things affect the price? So your age and your health are always going to affect the price. Your gender. Now, surprisingly, here's the funny thing. Men typically pay more for life insurance than women do because women outlive men. However, women will interestingly pay more for disability insurance because statistically they put in more claims than men do. So your age, your health, your gender, naturally, do you smoke? The definition of disability, we'll come back to that in the last portion of our podcast today, just to go over that, because that's a really important nut and bolt to really understand when you're looking at policies. So the definition of disability, the length of your waiting period or the elimination period. And again, you know, the longer you choose to wait, the cheaper your policy will be. Here's another one that you may not have thought of. Your occupation comes into play. So if you're an office worker, it's a pretty low risk job. If you're the guy that climbs on top of bridges to change the light bulbs, that's probably a little bit more high risk than sitting at a computer. So you're going to be charged accordingly for it. Your occupation comes into it. The length of the benefits that you're choosing. So how long do you want to get paid if you put a claim in? You know, that also comes into it. And then the last portion are any extra features that you get, examples being additional riders such as cost of living adjustment rider, which is essentially an inflation rider, or a return of premium rider. You know, any extras that you put on a policy will add a premium to it. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to blow the premium out of the water, but there is an additional cost to that, as I'm sure you would expect. So let me get back here for a moment. A lot of that probably isn't surprising. It's essentially underwritten very similarly to a life insurance policy. They're going to want to know all about your health, your medical history, your current medical condition, medications that you take, if you have any high risk hobbies like scuba diving, skydiving, that kind of stuff, rock climbing. They're going to want to know that, of course. They're also going to want to know about your occupation, all of your duties, what do you do, so on and so forth. So underwritten very similarly to life insurance, only with a little bit more of an emphasis on, well, what is it that you actually do for a living? Let me come back to the one component of your disability policy that is absolutely critical for you to know. The definition of disability. So the definition of disability is the standard that the company you have a contract with is going to say you either do or do not qualify for a disability benefit under the contract that you purchased with them. The way it works is you have two primary definitions. One is called own occupation. The other is called any occupation. Here's what that means. Own occupation is a very broad description of disability. What that means is you can qualify for a disability payment if you become injured and are unable to perform the duties of your current occupation. So, for example, if you are that office worker, and naturally, typing on a keyboard is pretty standard with any kind of office work. And let's just say you broke your hands or they became disabled in some way for a time. You're healing, but you can't really do too much with a computer because your hands don't work. Something like that. Under that instance, you now cannot perform your own occupation. You were an office manager, you were whatever. Let's just say you can't do it. So that can qualify then as a disability that would be paid out under the definition of own occupation. If you have any occupation, which is the other primary definition used, any occupation states that You do not qualify for disability coverage unless you are essentially totally disabled. You can't do any job at all. So it's a little bit more restrictive on when the company will pay out. Now, why is this important to know? I mean, aside from the fact of understanding your coverage and knowing when and when you aren't going to be eligible for a claim, because when you're looking at policies and you're comparing and one seems to be significantly less than the other, they're both offering you the same monthly benefit with the same elimination period, with the same extras, everything is the same, but say they're $20, $30, $40 a month difference in price. Let's just say that. One major reason for that could be the definition of disability they're going off of. If they're using own occupation, they're going to charge you more for that because there's a greater opportunity for the company to actually have to make a benefit payout. If they're using any occupation, the company will charge you less because there's less of an opportunity the company is going to make a payment. So you want to know what you have and how it works, because when that day comes, God forbid, if you do need to make a claim, you want to make sure that you bought a policy, one, that you wanted, two, that you're happy with, three, that's going to take care of you and your family and your needs. Sometimes in the insurance industry, little nuggets like that, I call them the intricacies of the policy that aren't obvious to someone who doesn't do this for a living. When you're an agent, I'm speaking because I've seen this. I've seen it so often. When you get in a price war between a couple of different agents, I mean, they're just trying to nickel and dime you because they want your business to make the money, blah, 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 blah. You know, sometimes they'll offer you a policy and they'll say it's the same as what you're being offered, and sometimes it isn't. Now, it doesn't mean that the agent's a bad person, because most of the time they just don't know themselves. They don't know how to read an illustration any better than you do. Sometimes they do, and they're really good at what they do. But essentially, unless you have an agent that's going to be able to tell you that, you're not going to know other than, well, this company's cheaper than that one, so I guess I'm going to go with the cheaper company. Why spend more than I need, right? Well, that's why. And that is a really major component to your policy. It's the whole reason why you're buying disability insurance, is to make sure that if you were to lose your income, that your family is taken care of. The last thing you need is, I think personally, this is my own opinion, I think it would be worse to become disabled and unable to work and have no means to provide for my family than it would be to die and not provide for my family. And here's why. Number one, I'm still alive and I'm watching my inadequacy. That's number one. That would hurt me very badly. Speaking, you know, as a dad, that would hurt me. Number two, if I'm dead, I'm dead. I'm not putting a drain on my family any longer. I'm not there to consume anything. If I'm alive, however, I am. I still need to eat. I still need to drink. I still need to use electricity to go to the bathroom and get a shower and read and whatever. So here I am, I'm consuming resources from my family without the ability to contribute or provide for. That's why I think it would be far worse if I left my income up in the air and then I became disabled and had no coverage. I don't want to chance that with my family. It's why I got it taken care of myself. And that's why I think anybody listening to this podcast still, you would feel the same way, because you have somebody or somebodies dependent on you. And you want to do the right thing and you want to protect them. So what do you do? I mean, there's a lot of different options out there as far as getting coverage in the blog post to come. We'll get into a little bit more about disability insurance, but what can you do right now? So if you're looking for coverage and you know you want to get things started, you want to start getting some quotes and some numbers, here's what you can do. Number one, if you're in either California, Hawaii, New Jersey, Rhode Island, or New York, depending on the state, and if you check out the blog page at jameshforlife.com, I've got a few hyperlinks here. Depending on the state, they are either required to provide you disability coverage or if they're not providing it to you, the state usually has something in line, like a disability insurance that your employer pays into on your behalf. So if you get injured, you know, there's something available. You want to check with your employer if you're in any of those states. Again, California, Hawaii, New Jersey, New York, and Rhode Island. If you're not in one of those states and you want to look into coverage, again, you can still check with your employer because there are employer-sponsored group plans out there that can be very beneficial. So I would definitely take advantage of that if your employer offers it. I would also look at a personal policy as well, primarily because the personal policy, you yourself own it, not your boss. And so since you own it, you have control of it. And if you leave your job, your coverage will not leave you. So you'll have it no matter where you go. So I would definitely look at a personal policy and a work policy and have them complement and support one another. For those of you looking for a personal policy, you can always reach me at jameshforlife@gmail.com. Or if you're on my blog site right now, at the bottom of my blog, you will see a form that you can fill out. If you're looking for a disability insurance quote, I'd be happy to shop it out for you. I have relationships with several disability insurance providers, some of the greatest in the nation. And I'd be happy to take your information before them and let them shop it out for us. And we could definitely make sure we get you the best protection at the best price for you. So again, you can either fill out the form at the bottom of my blog or you can always email me at jameshforlife@gmail.com. Well, guys, listen, I really appreciate you listening today. I hope this podcast has been beneficial for you. Again, if you have any questions or you need anything regarding life, disability, or long-term care insurance, please feel free to email me your questions at jameshforlife@gmail.com. Please also feel free to reach out to me if there's a topic that I haven't covered yet that you would like me to address. Again, you can email that to me at jameshforlife@gmail.com. And again, thank you one more time for listening in. You're listening to your premier podcast for all things life, disability, and long-term care insurance related. And I hope you have a great day, and I'll catch you next time here at James H for Life.